I have the privilege of welcoming up Anna Prendeville. She's speaking this morning. She's going to kill it. She's going to do so well. We're so excited. So come on up. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. Good to be here.
Yeah?
Do you have a microphone on?
I don't know.
Nope.
That's all right. Just going to have a moment here. So, Anna, how long have you been coming to church here?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anna has been a part of our worship ministry, our youth ministry. What else is it? Kids ministry. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you've done it all. You've done it all. And it's been great to have her a part of this church, so we're really excited to hear what she has to say this morning. But I'm just going to pray for you, and then we can get into it. Lord, we just thank you so much for Anna and her willingness to speak this morning. We just pray a blessing over her. And Lord, I thank you for what she has to say. I thank you for preparing her heart, and I pray that you would prepare our hearts this morning for what she has. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that Anna would speak so clearly, and just give her peace. Give us all peace as we listen and spend time together in community this morning. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Anna.
Man, isn't it good to have Tess back? I mean, I'm super thankful. We're actually housemates at the moment, and it's a lot of fun for me. I'm like, not going to do it. What you doing? Anyway. So I'm so excited. We're going through Psalms at the moment, if you didn't know. And I love Psalms. It just really shows, like, David's heart and his relationship with the Lord and his realness and his vulnerability. And so when Tim asked me, he was like, would you speak on Psalms? And you can pick anyone. I was like, oh, nuts. Like, there's just so many and they're all so good. But in my head, I was like, yeah, I want to do one that, like, no one knows and one that I haven't really read before. And, you know, it's going to be super cool. Like, it's going to be really new. And I was like, I'm not doing Psalms 23. But it's just funny how the Lord works, isn't it? Because I'm doing Psalms 23. And I was hesitant because it is so well known and everyone knows it. And, you know, you can walk into a Christian, non-Christian's house, it doesn't matter, and guarantee there'll be like a picture of a sheep on a wall and, you know, a little shepherd, and it provides so much comfort. And any funeral you go to, you don't know what songs they're going to sing, but you can guarantee what scripture they're going to share. And so, yeah, the Lord just kept putting it on my heart. And maybe it was just because he knew that I needed to hear it. Because the more I read it, the more I start to feel convicted and I begin to question not just my knowledge of the scripture and whether or not, like, I know it, but do I truly understand it and believe it in such a way that it changes the way that I live? And that this scripture causes me to fall into a deeper dependency and knowledge of who Christ is. And I believe that the more I read this passage, it isn't just a story. It isn't just like a Bible story, but this is a life journey that David is describing that he was going on. And it's a picture of this intimate and continuous relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. And so I don't want this just to be something that we memorize and have ingrained in our mind that, the Lord's my shepherd. Yes, tick that off. And, you know, I just want this to be so real to us that no matter what we face, no matter the situation we are on this earth, whether it be really good, really successful, or not so good, that the thing that we identify most and the thing that we reflect out the most, more than anything else, is the belief that Christ truly is my shepherd, and that because of that, my life is completely changed as a result of it. And so, yeah, I was challenged with how superficially I can read things like in the scripture, I shall not want, without even examining my life and considering all the things that I hold on to, all the things that I possess, which, like, things that I consider things that I need to hold on to feel secure and to feel safe. My cup overflows. What the heck? What does it even mean? Does my life even reflect that? And more importantly, does my heart trust that to be true? That's nice. Hebrews 4:12 says that God's word is living and active, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I believe that because this morning my prayer is for me and my prayer is for you guys, that this truth that we read will be constantly resonating deep within us as we appropriate and live out the reality of who Christ is and who he is in us, moment by moment of every day of our lives. And when we read the Psalms, not only will it make us feel better momentarily, but through it we will see the person of Jesus Christ. And in response, we will worship and glorify him boldly and fearlessly, and we will live out this faith in full confidence and joy and complete trust and dependence in him. Because this psalm isn't something new that we need to learn, but it's something new that we can experience and that we can delight in. And I believe that this experience lies within the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is. All right, let's read it. You guys all know it, so if you want to, you can say it with me. I don't mind. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm just going to pray real quick, if that's okay. Yeah, dear Lord, I just thank you that you're here with us today, Lord. And right now, I just pray that you'll just be doing a work in each and every one of our hearts, Lord, that we'll just be open to hear what you have to say, Lord, and that we won't just have it in our mind that we already know what this scripture says, Lord, because it's living and active, and you're constantly teaching us and renewing our minds daily, Lord. And I just thank you that I'm so weak, and I thank you that I don't have the words to say, but that you do, and that I can't, but that you can. Yeah, we love you, Lord, and yeah, we just want to serve you and glorify you through everything that we do. Amen. All right, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And for David to say this straight up, it might not seem like a really big and significant deal. It's just like, yep, the Lord's my shepherd. But in those days, for the Jewish people, they recognized the Lord as a shepherd. And they would often say, like, the Lord is our nation's shepherd, or he's our people's shepherd. But they would never say that the Lord is my shepherd. And so David straight up is just like, you know, just revealing his security and confidence to the Lord and saying, you know what, the Lord is my shepherd. And it also reveals such a beautiful characteristic of Christ, that he is personal. He desires to be with us. This book says it. The whole gospel points to it. Yet somehow I feel as though like we struggle truly grasping it and believing it. Or even worse, maybe we just lack this desire to have that. And I think it's possible to know the Lord in the sense of salvation. Yes, I know that he died for me. Yes, I know that I need him to be saved. But this is the kind of fellowship and relationship that the Lord desires with us, where he's like, you know what, when you go out and you're sharing about me and you're talking about me, tell them I'm your shepherd, that you belong to me, that you fellowship with me. Jeremiah 9 says, let the one who boasts, boast that he knows me. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And other translations often say, like, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, or I have everything I need. I read this and I was like, what the heck? Can you imagine being a place in your life, just think about it, all right? It's absurd, where you don't want anything or you don't need anything. And I think for some of us, it might be a little bit easier right now because, you know, look at us. We have a roof over our head. What else could we need? We have a job. We have our family with us. We have financial security. But what if you didn't? What if you didn't? Would you still be able to read this passage of Scripture and believe it and appropriate the reality that Christ is actually enough? Because although David had all the earthly things you could ever possibly imagine. Like, he was like the richest guy in the world, whatever. I don't know. His not needing anything actually has nothing to do with what he's saying. Like, his not needing earthly possessions has nothing to do with his heart of this scripture. And I want to make this super, super clear that this isn't a separation of statements. This isn't like David introducing himself, "Hi, I'm David. The Lord is my shepherd. Also, by the way, I'm super rich. I don't need anything else." No, we can't separate it. What David is meaning here is, because the Lord is my shepherd, because I walk intimately with him in personal relationship, daily, moment by moment dependence, because of that, I shall not want. I have the need for nothing else. Christ is everything that I need. And this isn't just a one-time thing. You know, we didn't just catch David on a good day. Psalms 27, David's like, you know, "The only thing I desire is to dwell in the presence of the Lord and to seek his face and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That's all I want." Psalm 63, he says, "The Lord's love, you know what? It's better than life." Is this how we view the Lord? Is this where our hearts are at? Can we truly claim that we know the Lord in such a way that just being in his presence is enough? That we couldn't even imagine needing or wanting anything else? In fact, you know what? Christ isn't just all I need, but Christ is all I have. Because my joy, my life, my emptiness, this void I'm feeling is all complete in him. Without him, I am nothing. How much different would our lives be if this was the reality for us? You know, I'm just asking. This is just what I've been learning, and it's crazy. And so as we move forward, we discover more of the person of Jesus Christ, and we come to understand and learn why David can actually say this. And we see the implications this truth has on his life and his personal relationship with the Lord. Verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And I don't know about you guys, but when I read this a while ago, I had this picture in my mind of, like, there's these big green fields and these, like, pastures, and then, you know, you have the little sheep frolicking around, having a good time, and then in the corner you have, like, the shepherd, and it's this picture of, like, complete bliss and comfort, and I think that's why we're so drawn to it, because we're like, yeah, that makes me feel good. And it's almost like, you know, the shepherd, like, leads a sheep and drops them off at daycare, and it's like, all right, I'll be here, have a good day, you know, let me know if you need anything, whatever. Like, that was literally what was in my mind. I know nothing. Because what I learned is that the green pastures that David is actually talking about in Israel, it's not like that at all. It's this wilderness and it's this desert and it's dry and it's not these green fields and happy days. And what would happen is that each day a few blades of grass would grow in the shades of the rock, and that would be enough to feed the sheep for that day. And then only by the leading and the guiding of the shepherd would he lead them to another rocky part of the desert where there was a few more blades of grass growing. And the still waters, that's significant because, I don't know this, but sheep actually only drink if the water is stilled. And so it's pivotal that the shepherd understands and recognizes the need of his sheep, that they need the still water. They need to be led and they needed to be guided. And so what David is saying is, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And this isn't just like, yeah, a comfort thing that we often take, but this is, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I am so dependent on Christ to lead me and to guide me each step of the way and each step of my day. And I think as Christians and as believers, like, we believe that we need Christ, yeah, because we know, like, we stuff up and we know how weak we are. And I don't think that's our problem. I don't think I need to convince you of that at all. That's not my desire. But I just want to challenge you with the thought that I don't think we truly grasp and understand how much we are in need of Christ. it's not just for him to save us. It's not just we need him when we lack courage, or we need him when we're about to go out and do, you know, something to glorify him, or when we're afraid we need the Lord. No, 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 no. We, that's right. We need him. We need him for every single dang thing that we just need him. I don't know how else to say it. John 15, Jesus is like, apart from me, okay, understand this, unless you're with me, you can do nothing. And we're like, watch me. Goodness. He makes me lie down. Sheep won't lie down if they're afraid. If there is friction among them, if they're hungry or if they're unsettled, they won't rest. And it's similar to us. You know, we can relate. If we're anxious, we're afraid, we got lots of things in our mind, we don't rest, we don't sleep well. But David is saying that just being in the presence of the Lord and just walking beside him makes his soul just find this rest and peace so much so that he can just lie down in full trust of his shepherd, knowing that he is not alone and that he is not abandoned. And so if we can say, if we ever read this passage of scripture again, and I encourage you to, but if you proclaim this and you say that the Lord is your shepherd, then you can also say that you have no reason to fear during uncertain times, because your certainty is based in the person who is far greater than anything we could ever face. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And in Psalms 5:8, David actually says something else that's very similar to this. He says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your ways straight before me." And I think, you know, just to put this simply, like, you know, you can take so many different angles of this, but I just felt really led and convicted just to keep it as it is. And I think another way of just proclaiming this is that when we trust the Lord and we are guided by him, we have no reason to fear because we know that he will guide us the right way. And how do we know this? I literally can't tell you anything else other than just the fact that he says it. And he promises it. Psalms 32, verses 8, he says, "I will teach you and I will instruct you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and I will keep my eye upon you for his name's sake." And once again, what I love is that this psalm is brought back to what it's all about. It's actually not about us. No matter how much we think it is, it's not. It's not about what we can get. It's not about the comfort that we can just feel and how we can live the most comfortable life. It's about Christ. And everywhere I look through scripture, every single dang psalm is all the same. It's all about him. So really, no matter which one I picked, my message probably wouldn't really change. God is absolutely sovereign, and in all things, he is at work to display his glory for his name's sake. And the paths of righteousness, the paths that are leading us, I believe, to the person of Jesus Christ, only because he is righteous. And we need him to get there. And then what happens, which is so exciting, is that as it leads us more closer to him and intimacy with him, it renews our minds and it creates in us this new heart and gives us an outflowing of his life. Yeah. Why can't we just read this and just believe it and simply trust him and stop trying to make things so much more complicated? Because we're sheep. We're so silly. we need the simple, like, we can't multitask, but yet we do it. We try and follow the shepherd, but then we also try and lead ourselves or try and, like, understand, oh, I reckon he's going to take us this way. All right, I'll run ahead. You know, he'll be right behind me. I do it all the time. I don't know why. He goes on to say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And I don't think I really need to explain to you guys what valleys are in our life. I think we all understand and we all know what it's like to walk through dark seasons or difficult times. And we know what it's like to have absolutely every reason in the world to be afraid. And if you're not in that season right now, if you're like, life is actually looking pretty good, well, then let me give you some encouragement. It's not going to be like that for very long. It's coming. It's right around the corner. And that's okay. But do we know and have we experienced what it's like to be in the valley yet walk through it in complete confidence and side by side with our shepherd, my shepherd, your shepherd, with not a feeling of fear inside of us for the simple and sufficient reason that he is with us? Because the world that we live in, gives us this circumstantial peace, okay? But Jesus, we're still talking about my shepherd, gives us this peace that isn't connected to anything that we go through. You didn't notice David, he says, through the valley, okay? Sometimes we have this thing in our mind that if we're with Christ and he's going to take all these hardships away and he's going to just make this like blissful green fields. But no, David is saying, even though I'm going to walk through the valley, even though you might not be pain right now, but you will be guaranteed like probably next week, I will not be afraid. Okay? He doesn't have to take them away. Just the fact that he is with us is enough. And so what I've been asking myself as I've been wrestling with this over the few months, well, a month, and what I want to ask you guys is which peace do you desire? Which peace are you going to seek after? The one that is eternal and that is based on the person of Jesus Christ? Or this peace that is, you know, here one day and then gone the next? When we truly believe this truth, this Psalms 23 to be true, then how is it possible? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense how it's possible for us to still be afraid. Because this is one of the greatest joy and hope of the Christian. Though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the middle of the sea, you know what? I will not be afraid. Why? Because he is with me. Verses 5, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I love this. I think I love this because it's so counterintuitive that it really, really shows and reflects an outpouring of Christ's life through David. Because how else could he say that? How else can we live like that? It's not possible to even say that without walking side by side with our shepherd. Although my enemies are trying to kill me, David's own son, in fact, all I see is the goodness and mercy of my shepherd. All I see is who Christ is and what he has done for me. All I see and all I experience is this abundant life that is available to me through my shepherd. I will fear no evil. In fact, although I'm amongst my enemies, I'm so consumed by the presence of Christ that I'm just so overjoyed and in absolute peace. And so I'm overflowing with the blessings of not what this life can give, but the blessings of purely just knowing Jesus Christ. And then the next part, I thought it was funny. Because have you ever stopped to think about what it means, you anoint my head with oil? Because I definitely did not. And so I looked into it, and it was actually this, in David's time, this ritual. When you go to someone's house, it was extremely hospitable for them. You walk in, and they tip oil on your head. And I was like, that makes no sense. Like, I picture in my head, like, can you imagine like coming to someone's house? And they're like, welcome, doink. I thought that was really funny. But No, so these, you know, it was a way of showing, yeah, respect and refreshing the visitor, because they would have walked and they would have traveled and they would have been extremely dirty and sweaty and yuck, and the host, yeah, refreshes them and cleans them. And so Jesus here, we have this picture of him welcoming us into his presence, and he restores our soul, and he anoints our head with oil. He takes care of us, he cleans us, he refreshes us. And that's why Jesus, he invites us. He says, come to me, all who are weary, burdened, and I will give you rest. Cast all your cares and your worries on me. Why? Simply because I care about you. And I want to just re-highlight that Psalms 23 is a journey. And if the worship team want to come back up, that's cool. It's a journey. Our life is a journey. Our Christian faith is a journey, but it's not a journey that we were ever meant to walk through alone. And this is the gospel. The gospel doesn't change all through Scripture from the very beginning. What does Christ want? He desires to have a relationship with us. He desires to be with us. And then what does Isaiah say? He says, we all like sheep have gone astray. So what does our shepherd do? What does he do? You know it. He sacrifices his life for his sheep. Why? Why would he do that? So that he can bring us back to being complete unity with him. And I don't need to convince you today, and I think we can all agree that God is a good shepherd, yeah? Yes, he is a good shepherd. But it blows my mind. It's so interesting how quickly we forget and we abandon that idea when we go through hard times. Okay, what do we say? What do we hear our friends say? I just don't feel God right now. I just don't see how he is working in my life. He just seems really distant right now. You know what? If God would literally just come down into my bedroom and reveal himself to me or speak to me, then I think I could believe it. Trust me, you do not want that. Any part of Scripture when Christ revealed himself to people, they just go splat straight down out of the sphere. That's not what we need. And so we say this so boldly while casting doubt on the truth and revelation of God's word based off our feelings, presuming that our feelings are remotely related to the attribute and the deity of Christ. Philippians 4 says that God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And sometimes I have to go back and I actually have to check that that's what it says, because the enemy likes to tell me that God hasn't met all my needs. The enemy likes to tell us that God hasn't provided, that there are some things in our life that God just isn't going to meet us at. The enemy likes to tell us that we need something else other than just Christ himself. And so then correlation to these feelings, what do? We get this lack of desire to pray. We lack this desire to just sit and to be in the presence of the Lord. And so we replace spending time with our Father and walking with our shepherd with overthinking and investing in these thoughts of fear and doubt and discontentment and anguish and this unsettled wrestling feeling that I know that we are all so familiar with. And sometimes we find ourselves like a lost sheep, just in complete brokenness, despair and weakness. We might be like David in Psalms 22, where he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? David knew what it was like to walk through dark valleys. He knew what it was like to feel pain. Yet this anguish that he felt, what did it do? It drawn him to the person of Jesus Christ, and it made him go down and lie in green pastures at the feet of Christ and to pray to him, because he is enough. He acknowledged that the Lord is his God and that it is in him that he will place his trust and give all praise to, regardless of how he is feeling. And I just want to say, that I have absolutely no idea what valleys you're going through right now. I don't know. I don't know the pain that you're feeling. I don't know what's keeping you up at night. I don't know what you're wrestling with. But I do know something. I know my shepherd. And I know that he cares. And I know that if we truly, truly have this desire to just seek after him, then we will 100% guaranteed always be satisfied, and our cups will always be overflowing because Christ is enough. And I know that in Christ Jesus there is no condemnation. When we are in Christ, we can't be ashamed. Sometimes we wander off and we get this thing in our head that it's too hard to go back, or you know, he's disappointed, or that he's not looking after us anymore. But no, the Lord is my shepherd. He could not be any closer. And I just want to say, in your weakness, you might think, or you might hear your Christian friends say, can you run to the Father? And you're like, I can't run. I have no strength. And then they're like, all right, can you crawl to him? I can't crawl to him. I don't have the strength to hold myself up. All right. Can you just hold on to him? You know what? Even if I could hold on to him, I'm so weak that he's just gonna slip straight through my fingers. All right. Can you fall? What? What do you mean? Can you just fall? Fall? Can you just fall on him and believe that his word is true, that his promises is true, that he is our shepherd and that he is enough? Just fall. Can he catch you? Yeah, absolutely. Does he want to catch you? He doesn't desire anything more than that. And it is a wonderful thing when we come to a place where we have nothing left and we feel like we just can't do it anymore. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart." And Paul rearticulates this so perfectly in my favorite Bible verse. It's actually on the back of my Bible. And it says, Philippians 3:8, he says, "I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider it absolutely nothing, that I may gain one thing, and that one thing be Jesus Christ." This is Paul, who knew what it was like to go through tremendous suffering. He literally lost everything and gave up his life, yet for him it was all worth it if it meant he could live what life he had left in the intimacy and the fellowship of his shepherd. Some could say that his cup was overflowing. He had nothing. Believe me when I say that he had absolutely nothing. Yet the Lord provided to him in such tremendous ways by giving him and by giving us his life. Paul had all he needed because the only thing that he had left was the person of Jesus Christ. And so I am about to finish up, and I just want to read Psalms 23 again. And I ask you to examine your heart as you listen to these words. And like, oh, you don't understand. Like, I just want you guys to believe it. Not just know it. We all know it. We can all recite it. Happy days. I don't care. Do you guys truly believe these words to be true in your life? Because if you were to walk out of this building today and lose absolutely everything that you have, let me ask you and ask yourself, would Christ be enough? Are you able to wake up each morning and recognize your absolute need and dependency on him for all things, so much so that you wouldn't even dang flip and dare leave your house without him? Will you trust him to lead you and guide you as you lay down to rest in him? Are you able to boldly proclaim with all fearlessness that even though I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have absolutely nothing to fear because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world? that no matter what happens to you in this life, it can never take away the joy and the peace we have in knowing that it is in Christ alone that our hope is found. I've been praying for you guys, and my prayer is that you will have a desire to walk side by side intimately with Jesus Christ each moment of every day until he returns and until we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great hope we have. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you. I don't even have the words to thank you, but I thank you that you are our shepherd, Lord, that you are my shepherd. And I just thank you that this life is so temporary, Lord, and that you have this plan to bring us to be with you, Lord, and that starts today, and that's something that lasts forever, Lord. And I just thank you that no matter what we go through in this life, no matter the pain or the suffering, that we have the greatest gift that this world could ever give, Lord, and that's you. And I just pray that today, Lord, we will leave with just complete joy and unexplainable hope that is purely based in the person of Jesus Christ, and that is you. And I just pray that this is something that will just go with us for the rest of our life, Lord, and that every time we look at Psalms 23, we are just renewed and we are just refreshed with our need of you, Lord. I just thank you for who you are, and I just thank you that you are with us no matter what we go through or no matter what we've done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.